Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation Podcast with Steve Warren and the coach, Greg Kennedy.
And another pass goes off the skate, this one of Joseph, and now he's racing away. He's got a breakaway. Joseph in, scores. Are you kidding? Matthew Joseph shorthanded on a 5-on-3, and it's 2-1 Ottawa.
Oh, beauty goal from Matthew Joseph in his return to Tampa Bay. That had to feel good. You don't see guys score 3-on-5 very often. Unfortunately, that was one of the few bright spots on a trip to Florida. Ain't no sunshine in the Sunshine State for the Sens. The Sens are for sale as we jump into topic matter. Potential buyers won't be enthralled by that road trip, 92 shots. Why won't DJ play Thomas Chabot less? Why won't he play Zaitsev a lot less? What's up with Alex Formanton? And the King appears to be back. Erik Karlsson appears to have rediscovered his mojo. All still ahead today here on the Sens Nation Podcast, brought to you by Jim K. Ford. Thank you for being with us. We hope you enjoy the show. We're joined by the coach, as always, Greg Kennedy. Greg, what's going on?
It's a beautiful fall day, isn't it, Steve? It's gorgeous out there. My God.
Well, you can't... Yeah, the whole week, most of October has been fantastic. I'm still hoping to get one more golf game back in.
Well, it's supposed to be 20-something on Sunday.
Yep. It's supposed to be anyway, like, I think sunshine right through. We're here on Wednesday, November 2nd, right through Sunday, I think. Sunny and temperatures between 15 and 20. Love it. Don't want to talk too much about golf right now because the Senators, over the last couple of games in Florida, have certainly resembled a team that has plans to be golfing come April or May. I don't know. Will the real Ottawa Senators please stand up? Are they the 0-4 team on the road, or are they 4-1 team at home? What do you make of that Florida road trip, Greg?
Just, you know, like you come away from that and you say, okay, they were outshot 92-40. There were stretches where they looked absolutely awful, and yet they were in the games. That's got to be the frustrating part. From a fan perspective, is that, yeah, they're playing like crap and they're getting outshot like crazy, but man, they're in these games. So it's like, okay, there's flashes there. They've got it, but they just need to get it for 60 minutes is what some people may say. Other people are going to look more in depth and say, like, it's a train wreck in their own zone at times still, and this is a problem. And when is that ever going to get fixed? And I don't know what the answer is other than finding that guy that we all want them to find, that top 4D. Let's find him somewhere. That seems to be what's required here. That and play Chabot less, as you've alluded to.
There's that, yeah. We talked with Ian Mendez in our last episode. Great conversation, by the way, that discusses about defense, whether it's personnel, whether it's D-zone coverage and strategy and maybe communications as well. But after the game in Tampa Bay, I was amazed. I mean, Sens Twitter is upside down. You'd think that 4-1 run they went on in their home, in their first homestand, you'd think that never happened. Yeah. And everybody's just off the range. And the finger of blame, is it DJ Smith, Thomas Chabot, Zaitsev, Pierre Dorion taking some, and everybody's looking for accountability. And I still feel like, yeah, as a passionate Sens fan, I feel the frustration. But surely we've seen enough Ottawa Senators seasons. This is not an expansion city anymore. I mean, this team is in its 30th anniversary, and I guess that's the nature of being a fanatic, right? That's the full version of fan, fanatic, that you are maybe a little fanatical when things aren't going very well. But in terms of like pointing the finger of blame, like where are you at right now?
Well, I'm going with the blue line, Steve. I know, I understand, I'm fully cognizant of the fact that team defense, it's five guys and a goaltender in the D zone. But I still maintain that the biggest problems are reading the rush and defending down low. Now, reading the rush is partially forwards on the back check, identifying a man and sticking with him. But it's also, it's D doing the right things and not getting crossed up. It's down low coverage, it's net front coverage. It's puck zone coverage and eliminating people and being physical and all those things that we talked about last time on here, like as you said with Ian, it's still there. And the fact that you're playing Zaitsev. They called up Hetherington and he was just the, I don't know, the emergency fill in if we need him for the trip to Florida. He got sent down again today. He's already been sent back down. So is JBD coming up or does that mean Zub is ready? They said Zub was 1 to 2 weeks. It's been 1 week. Maybe he's ready, but that's still not the answer. It's not enough. We need another defenseman here who can play and play 15 to 20 minutes, who can play in your top four, who can just help stabilize things. And until that happens, you're going to have games where they look really good because the other team isn't maybe quite as strong. And you're going to have games where they look absolutely horrible because they're the team that isn't quite as strong.
Now, about the game in Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Did you think the officiating was a little sketchy? Like, I disagreed with so many calls. I mean, obviously there's a bias to some degree.
The Dylan Gambrell, let's start there. Yes, he threw up the elbow and hit him in the head. That is a penalty. It's a match penalty by the rules, and I get that. But like 3 seconds before that, Mott took a stick in the face behind the net
right
before the puck even got over there to where Gambrell was, and there was no call.
Yeah.
So the Gambrell thing shouldn't have even happened. There should have been a whistle. The other one was the high stick call on Sanderson. Like, Mike, I saw it right away. The head jolt or whatever was way too late. And it was like, wow, they called that? He fell for that one? And then they showed the replay of it. Terrible call. There was another one that was a trip behind the net against Hamonic. Yep. I still didn't see it. They showed the replay, and I think that Noodles had no idea what he was looking at. And he said, oh, he got a little bit of a trip. Like, I was thinking, was it a slew foot trip or something? No, I don't get that call. I thought the officiating was very, very poor last night. Whether that contributed to the win or loss, probably, because they spent so much time shorthanded. 8 minors, like, and guys not getting in the game, it affected the outcome of the game, clearly.
Yeah, and it's not just they did a good job like on that 5-on-3 coming away without allowing a goal. In fact, they came out with a +1 with that Joseph goal that we played off the top. Yeah. So the PK generally did a good job. But what happens, and we see it, you know, in so many games, that when you're chasing the game, when you're defending all the time, and Tampa Bay, even though they don't score, they're feeling their mojo. They've got the puck on their stick. They're feeling a comfort zone and a momentum that they can draw from those things. And that seemed to be part of the deal, and that the Sens were constantly on their heels defending all night, that they really weren't able to get a ton going.
Yeah. Now, okay, they didn't play well.
No.
I mean, on top of that, they did not play well. I guess the one positive, did you catch that stat? Since 2019-20 season, since the first COVID season, the Ottawa Senators lead the NHL with 32 shorthanded goals.
Wow.
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 Yeah.
That was Connor Brown effect would be in there.
Yeah. And think back to how many they missed too. Like, yeah, you just bring up Connor Brown. Like, that one game he had about 4 shorthanded breakaways, and I think he buried one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or did somebody score one of his rebounds? Remember that game?
Yeah.
And last night too. But 32 shorthanded goals since 1920. But you know what? It kind of makes sense. I don't know who's shorthanded the most, but I bet they're probably very high on the list of minutes played shorthanded in that same time frame. Because, like, lots of bad calls tonight. There's been, I think back to other nights when there have been bad calls, and I'm not, I don't think I'm a jaundiced viewing fan. I think I'm fairly objective when I watch. Or no, subjective? Which one is it, Steve?
Objective is right.
Yeah, I'm objective. And I just think, like, man, there seems to be a lot of rinky-dink, or what we call ticky-tack calls, going against them.
Yeah.
And it's affecting their game.
The Sens are apparently for sale. New report that came out from Sportico.com, which is all about the business of sports, seems like a pretty well-to-do website. It says the Sens are widely expected to be the next NHL team to sell. That came out early in the morning on November 1st, and by the end of the day, it was pretty much widely accepted that it was a team that's definitely for sale. They've basically gone out and gotten themselves some kind of a sports banker called Galeciotto. Sports Partners, probably butchering that pronunciation, but they've retained this pro sports banker to explore a sale. And right now, the value of the franchise is said to be $655 million. And that's a 21% increase over the last little while and a big old jump from the price tag Eugene Melnick paid in 2003 of $92 million. $92 million to $655 million. Boy, if our houses were, the market's pretty good housing-wise too, but nothing like this. And so, yeah, the Sens are for sale apparently. And what was your reaction to hearing that?
I was kind of surprised because I really thought that if it was going to happen, if the team was going to be for sale, I would have thought it would have come out sooner. I would have thought a decision would have been made sooner. But then what do I know about running a big business and performing due diligence and making decisions? I guess the girls took a little longer than I thought they would take to reach this conclusion. Hey, great. As long as it's local people or people from out of town who are going to keep it local, which sounds like what it's going to be. It's not, it doesn't look like it's going to be moved. Obviously that's not going to happen. Gary Bettman doesn't like that. So as long as the team stays, really, I've said this before, I don't care who the owner is. How does that affect me? How does that affect us as fans? Other than if he's a real cheap guy, he doesn't want to do this or doesn't want to do that. But even then, you've got a salary cap, you got a minimum of the cap, you got a maximum of the cap. So there's not much that an owner being a jerk or being cheap or whatever can really affect what we're seeing on the ice. So I don't really care who owns the team as long as there's a team.
I think ideally it would be, that concept of, Jason York's brother, Jeff,
yep,
Roger Greenberg, John Ruddy, they are Ottawa people. And so I think it matters because it just makes them that much more hesitant to relieve the city of Ottawa of its NHL franchise. I don't think anybody is going to be able to do that, at least not in the near future. Though there's always that in the back of your mind when you're talking about, whoever takes over this team is probably going to be paying somewhere in the $750 million range. And mm-hmm. as such, they're going to want a return on their investment. So ticket prices are going to keep going up, especially when they get downtown to a new arena. And, I hope that fans will still pony up the big ticket prices, for decades and decades. But that remains to be seen way down the road. I'm fairly confident in the meantime. The one thing that is interesting is that everybody goes to that card of, they would never move the Senators out of Ottawa because that if they go to Houston or Kansas City or whatever it is, that means the NHL owners won't get that expansion fee of $750 million or whatever it'll end up being from a Kansas City or from a Houston. And I guess the thought there is, and I was having this conversation with a friend the other night, like how many teams would the NHL actually have? Like 32 is a pretty nice round number. Like how many more expansion plans are there? In 100 years, are there going to be 100 teams in the league? Like a league starts to get weird when it gets much bigger than it currently is, no?
Yeah, and to me, 32 is too many. As far as I'm concerned, I'd be happy if it was, 24 would work for me.
Right.
But no, you're right. Like, okay, we can't have a team move to Houston because we want to keep Houston on the back burner for a potential expansion team. Well, when are you going to have expansion? Yeah. I just think that Ottawa is not the team. Yes, some team could end up someday moving to Houston. I do not believe it's this franchise. I think it's like an Arizona is going to move long before that's going to happen. And it's nice to hear Alfie's name out there and some people speculating maybe that's part of the reason why he hasn't fully come back and taken a job with the team yet is because he's in with these guys who are looking to buy a team. It wouldn't be a financial play on Alfie's part. He certainly doesn't have, he's got money, but he doesn't have gobs and gobs of it to be involved as a significant partner in an ownership team. But he could certainly come in as your president, or he could certainly come in with a pretty serious title. And that's good news. I heard a couple of names floating around, people I'd never heard of, but guys that are billionaires, and that's billionaire with a B, because a multimillionaire isn't going to have enough money to do this. So, I really don't care who it is, just as long as the team's going to stay here. And if it's Yorkie and crew, that's even better. I'm okay with that one. No problem.
Yeah, and I'd put a rider on that. I'd also like to see them reinvest the way other NHL teams do, the way the Sens have here in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. That would be fine if we can throw that into the mix as well. And I think I'll never say never, but I'll say that it worrying about relocation is unnecessary because,
yeah,
I mean, Gary Bettman, you mentioned that part. I think he takes it as a personal affront, the concept of teams moving under his watch. He did lose Quebec and he did lose Winnipeg the first time around. But beyond that, I don't think this Atlanta was a different one as well. But generally speaking, we've seen it with the Sens in the past or the Buffalo Sabres or the Arizona Coyotes. Gary Bettman really has a resistance to allowing the relocation of franchises because I think he sees it as a failure, personally speaking. And then there's the other angle of the new downtown arena. I think that really sets it up to be super lucrative for whoever the next owner may be. Let me ask you this question. So sure. All this stuff that happened, the summer of Pierre, all these great, the buyouts of certain guys and the bringing in of DeBrincat and Giroux and Cam Talbot, was that all just to set up the concept of, okay, we want to set this up for a sale? Or was this the plan all along? Was this basically Anna and Olivia Melnyk putting the finishing touches on their father's rebuild plan and, you know, making sure they're going to be, getting their unparalleled success?
I think it was all part of the plan all along. I really do. Were there moves made that weren't part of the plan? Yes. The buying out of Matt Murray was not obviously part of any long-term plan. The bringing in of Matt Murray in the first place and paying him what you paid him was part of the plan. It didn't work out. So that was a little bonus and a nice little move that Pierre was able to get rid of him and bring in Camp Talbot for however short a time frame that may be. But the other spending was all part of the plan because you just need to look at the parts that are in place now, what they've done with those assets, all those draft picks. When you got rid of everybody, you got all these high picks and certain trades you made, we're all building toward this being the logical next step. Okay, the young kids are ready to go, or at least some of them are. Now we need to augment them with some actual real hockey players instead of plugs at third and fourth liners coming in here. It all makes sense from a big picture standpoint to me that this was the plan all along.
Yeah. We'll never know for sure. Only the decision makers at the top of the food chain would know for sure. But it's worked out nicely, regardless of motivation, because it sort of acts as a kind of home staging scenario for this team. You know, I was saying, okay, what does a home stager do when they're getting ready for sale? Well, they declutter. That's kind of what they did with the buyouts. And they buy a bunch of new stuff, which is kind of what they did with, Giroux and DeBrincat. So it's worked out very nicely for the Ottawa Senators. So see what they get price-wise. Like, where do you think the price tag will fall for the Sens when they actually do end up selling, probably in the next calendar year?
Well, I think it depends on what's going on with the rink. What kind of a deal is reached with the rink and with the land and with the lease and all that sort of stuff before or after the sale, right? If that's done and done in a very lucrative, nice looking way, then obviously the price is higher and the price, could go up to $1 billion. But if none of that is done, like if all of a sudden somebody steps up and says, okay, here's $750 million right now, then they may just say, okay, fine, and do the deal and it's done. So I really think the price tag depends on time, and the time factor depends on, like, we just got a new mayor. Like, we've got to get that figured out. We got to work that in. There's a whole new negotiation process going on. They've got a deadline to go to the next stage in the new arena deal. So when it all takes place will dictate how much whatever the price is going to be, I think, anyway. From what little I know about business, I think that all factors in there.
Yeah, and the neat thing about Mark Sutcliffe as the new mayor is that it's not like you have a guy at the top that's now coming in and hates sports and doesn't have any time for it. He is he's sports friendly. Don't think that means he's going to write a blank check, but I think it's a good thing from a sports fan's perspective. We'll take a time out of the program, and when we come back to things, we're going to talk about Shane Pinto getting NHL Rookie of the Month. That was fairly cool. And we'll also get into our Kodiak Security Systems Sens trivia. That's coming up after these words.
Jim K. Ford Lincoln is turning 40, and to celebrate, they're giving you a gift. It's Truck Days, and to thank you for 40 years of support, Jim K. is offering up to $3,000 in factory order rebates. No matter what it is you have to do, make, move, or create, there's a Ford truck built for you. Come celebrate four decades of Jim K. by ordering your brand new Maverick, Ranger, or F-150 your way. Secure your order today. Get started at JimKFord.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
And did you know Ottawa's very own Dunrobin Distilleries has been winning prestigious awards internationally for their spirits? It's true, their gins won gold and silver earlier this year out of the UK, and their whiskey came in second place as the best Canadian whiskey in the country. Pick up some Dunrobin spirits today at various LCBO locations across the province, or buy directly from their website at dunrobindistilleries.com. Okay, got some trivia coming up shortly. Some quick hitters here. Good old Corey Conacher is back. Corey Conacher has returned. He's playing now in the American Hockey League with the Belleville Senators. That's good. I always liked Corey Conacher. I thought he was very much a fringe NHLer. He'll go down as a guy that, you know, that Ben Bishop deal. Oh my God, how did that happen? But I think he's going to be a really good American Hockey Leaguer and provide a little depth down there. So good to see him back in the organization, I think.
For sure. And he's a proven AHL point producer. He will help that team. I honestly have no idea what he's like as a pro. You know, he carries himself and character. I don't know, but I don't think the Senators would sign some over the hill schlep lazy guy. So I think he'll probably be of benefit to a young man like Ridly Gregg down there. And it's a great signing. If he is everything that he's been in the past as far as producing at the American Hockey League level, it's a good signing.
My favorite, and unfortunately for Conacher, Corey Conacher, he probably liked that I'd, you know, remember other things other than this, but my favorite Corey Conacher memory was him in the penalty box, and there was a skirmish, and helmets came off, and Corey Conacher ends up in the penalty box by himself, and so they flipped him a helmet, and it ended up being John Scott's helmet, accidentally. So he's in there, trapped in the penalty box, wearing John Scott's helmet, which looks like he looked like a child wearing a grown man's helmet. It was very funny watching him trying to get that thing on while he's in the box. Anyway, so, Corey Conacher now back with Belleville. Other Sens news, Shane Pinto, or Cy Young, as I like to call him, with his 7 goals and 1 assist in the month of October, is the NHL Rookie of the Month. And he did that in 9 games. And also got elevated to the second line. I don't know that was a difference maker in Tampa, but it is a great start for Shane Pinto in his official rookie season, though he has played games in the previous 2 years. The Sens have to be thrilled, Greg, with Shane Pinto.
Oh God, yes. It's another thing to ease some of the pain or quiet down some of the clamoring with all the fans that might be complaining about the last 2 games and about the losses and the record and the play, is that, you know what, there are some bright spots here, and it's not just Shane Pinto. It's Jake Sanderson as well. It's the play of the third line. It's the play of the fourth line. It's Kastelec. There's been some very good things happening here, and it's nice to see a league-wide recognition for one of the good things and one of the good stories that's going on here in Ottawa this year.
And how about the brutal news for Connor Brown, the former Ottawa Senator? Sens traded him away in the summer for a second rounder. A lot of people, including me, felt like the Sens could have waited and maybe gotten more for him. Right now, Connor Brown would come in very handy for this organization. They lose Josh Norris. Alex Formanton is, I don't know what Alex Formanton is. He's not an Ottawa Senator, and it sounds like he never will be again. But Connor Brown might have come in handy. And here it is. He's in Washington. Seems like the world is set up for him with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. He's filling in for Tom Wilson while he's hurt, and gets hurt like 3-4 games into the season. In a contract year, he's going to be gone 6 to 8 months. Brutal news for Connor Brown.
Like, that's the worst part of it. Poor guy. You know, the reason he's no longer an Ottawa Senator was basically his statement that he was looking forward to testing free agency at the end of this season.
Yeah.
And now here you are in your free agent year, and man, that's got to suck.
Yeah, totally. So all the best to Connor Brown. I'm sure somebody will absolutely sign him in the off season, but it probably, that knee injury has probably cost him, well, north of $1 million, I'm sure.
Millions.
Yeah, millions of dollars over the life of a contract, for sure. Too bad. Closing it out today.
Wait a minute. You brought up Alex Formanton.
Oh, yes. We should talk about that. Yeah. He is the last unsigned restricted free agent in all of the NHL. And do you think he'll ever play for the Sens again?
I think it's pretty much done. He's not going to. He never will again. I think he'll end up in Europe or he'll sign somewhere. He has until December 1st to sign. You'll remember fairly recently, what's his goof there with the helmet that doesn't fit in Toronto?
Oh, Nylander.
Nylander, with his refusal to sign. And finally on December 1st, he signed, so he was able to play. There you are. Alex Formanson is in the exact same situation. For whatever reason, and no doubt the dark cloud of London and the World Junior Team Hockey Canada is hanging over him. And right now he's without a contract. And I don't know that there's any team out there that, you know what, they may all be affected by the same thing and say, no, we want to wait and see. We want to wait and see. And they may all be waiting. So even trying to trade him may be difficult. Darren Dreger said on the Insiders last night, Tuesday night, that it looks like it's the Senators will not be signing him. So that leaves you with sign or go to Europe. Somewhere else, trade or go to Europe, right?
Yeah, and the whole Hockey Canada investigation, I just feel like, I'm not privy to what happened. And I'm sure the investigators are looking at things and there's probably people who are decision makers who have inside information. I just feel like, make an accusation or let the guy get on with his life.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I feel like it's like, if he's done something, then I have no sympathy and F that guy, but make an accusation then. And if there's none forthcoming, I don't think you could take away a guy's livelihood just based on whispers on social media. So I just wish they'd get on with things one way or the other. Either accuse him of something or let him carry on with his existence.
Make a statement one way or the other and let the chips fall where they may from there.
Right. Erik Karlsson appears to have rediscovered his mojo, hasn't he? Holy cow. Oh, man, wow. Erik Karlsson is like just this, he's a new man. He's ripping it up. I think he's the top goal scorer among defensemen right now. He's got 15 points. I think he's a top 10 guy in the league right now, points wise. It's astonishing. I really thought that Erik Karlsson's best days were behind him, and they may still be. It's very early. It's a small sample size. But even this, I didn't think Erik Karlsson was capable of a 10-game run that he's on right now. What a heater.
Yeah, nor did I. It's a bad team. It's a bad contract. It looked like he was done, but then again, he hasn't been healthy in a long time. So maybe that's all it is. He's finally healthy. He's feeling good again. He's got his confidence back again, and he's producing at least offensively the way that he used to. I can honestly say I haven't seen a San Jose game yet this year to see how he's doing defensively, but at least on one side of the ledger, he looks pretty darn good, doesn't he?
Yeah. No, he never won a Norris Trophy because he was great defensively, like an upper-end defenseman in the league. He did it because of his points, and that's where he's back to right now. This is according to Stats Center. He has the most goals by a defenseman in their first 12 games of a season since 1930. He has 9 goals in the team's first 12 games. Had a hat trick last night as we're recording this here on November 2nd. So that puts him in a tie with Paul Reinhardt, who did that, Phil Housley. And so there's your NHL rundown. Now let's get to the trivia, unless I've missed anything.
No, let's do it, man. Come on now.
Let's get to the trivia. It's brought to you by Kodiak Security Systems, ladies and gentlemen. And you are the quizmaster in this one.
I am.
All right. So how many seconds am I going to get to answer today's question?
I'll give you 20 again. I gave you 20 last time. I'm feeling judicious.
All right. If I pull it off, hopefully it's not too difficult. Because I think we've been making life difficult on each other. That's why we're on a bad run.
Because you were chirping me because I didn't get any right.
Yeah, okay. So I'll get you, Warren. Anyway, if I get it right, you'll disengage or disarm the Kodiak security alarm. If I fail, the alarm goes off and I lose. And the listeners will mock me until their throats are sore. So you have a question?
Good.
Get at it.
The 2017-18 season with the Chicago Blackhawks, they had a rookie named Alex DeBrincat on the team. Mm-hmm. He led the team with 28 goals. It was one more than Patrick Kane, by the way. But there were 4 other players on that team that season who either were or would become either former or future Senators were also on that team that season, 2017-18 Chicago Blackhawks. and at least one obvious one is incorrect. But go ahead. Can you name the other four future or past senators? Actually, I'll tell you, they were all future senators on that team.
Oh, well, that screws me. I was going to go Marian Hossa. I don't know if he's still playing or not at that stage. But that's wrong, obviously. He's a future.
That's wrong. Yes, I know. That's right.
Freddie Oduya?
Was not there either.
Anisimov?
Yes, sir. The third, the emergency backup goaltender scored 20 goals that year for the Blackhawks. Artie Party. 35 games in goal that year to lead the team. Played 35 games in goal that year. Do you know who it was?
Anton Forsberg.
He was there. 35 games. The Duke, the one and only Anthony Duclair, played 23 games that year.
I have no recollection of Anthony Duclair playing for the Hawks.
Well, because remember, he bounced around so much, right? He went from the Rangers to Arizona to Chicago to Columbus.
He came over in the Dzingel deal.
Yeah, exactly. And the other guy, the great Tommy Wingles, played 57 games for the Blackhawks that year.
Wow. Okay, so you're still trying to get even with me. I get it. Okay, I get
I'll
it.
I'll get some easy next time.
Another very difficult one today, but that is today's Sens Trivia. I failed again. For Kodiak Security Systems, keeping your home and business safe and secure in Ottawa for the last 40 years. All of Kodiak Systems come with a complete warranty, and their friendly technicians are the absolute best. They're not hired contractors either. They're all Kodiak employees who truly understand the systems and the highest standard of installation. So switch your monitoring to Kodiak Security and receive 3 months of monitoring absolutely free. KodiakSecurity.ca. They're at 2801 Riverside Drive. Just tell them the folks at the Sens Nation podcast sent you. And with that, we
there's a bear in there.
We'll take our leave with that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today. Thank you to our great friends at CJRO Radio in the East End, which air the show 3 times a week. And almost going to be making some hits on Lake 88. Coming up starting Tuesday, 8:15, Tuesday morning hits at 8:15 in the morning. So that'll be fun to talk Sens Nation there as well. We're expanding, we're growing, we're all over the place. Of course, our website is out there with an expansion of our writers. Yeah, we got quantity and we got quality going on right now at the Sens Nation Journal. So check that all out at SensNationHockey.com. Greg, enjoy your day. Enjoy this fine weather. Hoping for better things if the Sens take on the 9-2 Vegas Golden Knights on Thursday night. Won't get any easier as they try and get rid of that 3-game slide, but enjoy the hockey, Greg, and we'll talk to you next time.
For sure. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for being with us on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and review. Share the show with your friends and followers, or become a member on Patreon. Check out our website today at SensNationHockey.com.